Have you ever heard of the egg dance? What is it and what did it represent?
Neil Schofield joins us on today's episode to share lessons we can learn from a quite bizarre painting of the egg dance.
Also, we'll have music, a health segment on vaping, and much more.
Don't go anywhere.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. It's the beginning of December and we're excited to celebrate new beginnings as 2023 comes to draw to a close. Can you believe that? And 2024 is just around the corner.
It's hard to believe, and I can hardly believe that the year is already closing, but new beginnings are always fun to celebrate. And what a better way to celebrate than by being encouraged in the ultimate new beginning promised to each one of us.
So are you thinking of God's new beginnings in us?
I absolutely am. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes. So friend, are you in Christ? Have you surrendered everything to him? You know, every day is a new opportunity to surrender. In fact, we should surrender ourselves to God every single day. Even as we face temptations throughout the day, we have opportunities to surrender to him.
Amen. And friend, if you haven't done that yet, we invite you to do so right away.
Right now. You know, we hope that our program today will help you to get closer to Jesus as we continue to grow in him. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
In Washington, D.C., on December 6, 1884, laborers placed a 9-inch aluminum pyramid bearing the inscription Laus Deo, signifying praise to God, atop a tower constructed from white marble. This marked the successful completion of a remarkable monument dedicated to the city's namesake and the inaugural president of the nation, George Washington. The monument's concept originated in 1783, but significant action didn't commence until 1832, 33 years after Washington's passing, when a private Washington National Monument Society was established. Eventually, 52 years later, the monument was finally completed.
Wow. You know, talk about procrastination. Friend, the truth is that many of us procrastinate. You know, we put things off that we could have done today for several reasons. While procrastination is never a good idea, we want to especially encourage you to not put off a relationship with Jesus, not even for another minute. You know, God is waiting with open arms to be your guide, your friend, your savior, your everything. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So friends, don't wait another minute to give your all to him.
Amen. Well, today the Healthy Foodie joins us as they share a delightful recipe for barley spring rolls. Filled with the healthful benefits of herbs, these Vietnamese-inspired spring rolls are sure to become a new favorite.
Have you ever heard of the egg dance? So what is it and what does it represent? Well, Neil Schofield takes us through a painting with onions, mussels, and leeks. What's the meaning behind this bizarre painting? Well, let's find out on today's episode of Masterstroke.
Imagine rolling an egg out on the floor, hopping around on one leg, while you try to cover the egg with a wooden bowl. If the egg goes outside the circle, or it gets broken, you automatically lose. But if you're the first to cover the egg, you win the prize. What's the prize? It's a basket of eggs. Our painting today is called The Egg Dance. Peter A. Ertzen, otherwise known as Tall Pete, he painted everyday life, but he weaved practical spiritual lessons into his paintings. The Rijksmuseum, it identifies these people as peasants, either in a tavern or a brothel. On the right-hand side of the painting is this man doing the egg dance. He's doing it to the music of the bagpiper. On the floor are onions, leeks, and mussels. They're all 16th century symbols of fertility and debauchery. We find occult tarot cards on the table. They're showing the Joker and a leaping goat. Then we have this guy over here, drunk. He has one hand on the girl's shoulder. This symbolizes sexual advances. His other hand is precariously holding a vase above his head. The bagpiper stops playing as he anticipates a catastrophe. You see, the artist is cleverly warning against lust and immorality. Oh, it's all bright colours and looks so much fun. But when you mix alcohol, music, dancing, sex, and foolish games, it becomes like those who danced around the golden calf instead of worshipping the Creator God. The Apostle Paul said, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." And it's a sad situation that throughout Christian history, instead of the church pervading the world has pervaded the church. The key message I get from this painting is this: the Christian life is all or nothing. And what looks like fun may not last, and it can end in tragedy.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up With Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with music and more, but first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Hey, Doc, there's something good in the news today.
Well, that's surprising.
Yeah, fewer American teenagers are smoking cigarettes.
Well, that's great news.
Yep, they're putting down their cigarettes and replacing them with vaping.
That's not great news.
Why not?
Because vaping could be harmful, like cigarettes.
But they look so cool, like fire-breathing dragons. Besides that, it's just a little steam.
No, it's not.
Really? I was going to put some in my steam iron at home.
No, it's not just steam, Daniel. It's a mix of toxic chemicals. You know, some are highly addictive, like nicotine. Nicotine in vapes worsens depression and anxiety. The American Lung Association reports that vapes produce a dangerous mix of chemicals, including formaldehyde and acetaldehyde.
Oh yeah, I'm missing those vitamins in my diet.
Oh, they're not vitamins, they're toxins. There's even acrolein, which is a weed killer. And not surprisingly, the Lung Association has found that vapes can cause acute lung injury and chronic lung injuries, you know, COPD, may even trigger asthma and cancer for the users and those around them.
Oh man, just when I thought there was some good news.
Well, I've got some good news.
Really?
Yeah, we can all breathe easy.
How's that?
by using our lungs for what they're designed for, breathing air. Do you need to de-stress? Then give yourself a few deep breaths of good, old-fashioned fresh air. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up With Hope.
It's now time for music as the group Lifelong Worship sings Take My Life. Meditate upon the words of this song as you lift your heart to the Lord. Join today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
Coming up right after the break, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share today's devotional thought.
Welcome back. John Bradshaw from It Is Written joins us now to share our morning devotional thought. Pastor John?
It is really great to see you. I sincerely hope your day is going well, that you're blessed, planning to be really blessed, that you're going to see God work, that you're counting your blessings and looking forward to the return of Jesus. Hey, December 7, 1941, a day that will live forever in world history. A day that will live forever in world history. That's how the speech was originally written for President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But he looked at that speech and he goes, "Nah, that doesn't sound right." Scratched out world history and wrote in infamy, which is why December 7 is a date that will live forever in infamy. That was the day, December 7, 1941, that Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. More than 2,000 people died. Planes were destroyed, ships destroyed. USS Arizona still sits on the bottom of Pearl Harbor. You can take the little boat ride out to it now, and at least you used to be able to see the drops of oil coming up and landing on the surface of the harbor. Pearl Harbor was not the only place attacked on December 7, 1941. The Philippines was attacked. It may have been December 8, Philippines time, but it was right around that same time. British Malaya and Hong Kong. Malaysia was Malaya, and it was under the authority of the British, as was Hong Kong at that time. They were both attacked. Guam was attacked, same day. Right around that time, Wake Island was attacked, and Midway Island shortly afterwards. Terrible attack. What happened, do you think? Do you think somebody in the Japanese military woke up that morning and said, "I've got an idea. Why don't we attack the United States?" No, the attack had been brewing for a long time. It was well thought out. It was well planned. It was really very well executed. Wasn't well conceived. I mean, it ended up in disaster. A couple of atomic bombs suggested it was a disaster. All the fighting through the Pacific said it was a disaster. Many, many lives lost. But it was planned well ahead of time, as attacks typically are. We are involved in a battle far more deadly than that which happened on December 7, 1941. We are involved in a battle far more deadly than all of World War II put together. And I say that with respect to those who served, particularly those who lost their lives or were injured. This was a battle that was well planned and well thought out. I mean, poorly conceived. It shouldn't have happened. Nobody wins in this. You might say, "Well, we win." Well, no, we wouldn't have had to have won. We would have just been happy and saved and living in the presence of God without having to bear the scars of sin. Can't say God won. I mean, he did. He won. He was not defeated, but he lost his son. And Jesus is forever altered throughout eternity. At least that's what we believe, right? That Jesus is no longer omnipresent, but is confined to a body now. But this was an attack on the sovereignty of God. And it was an attack on your freedom. You know, we live in a world where the devil reigns. Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air. Over in Revelation, he's the accuser. Other places, he's a liar and the father of it, or the father of lies. But he's a usurper. He's an attacker. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14 that unhappy, dissatisfied with his place in heaven, Satan said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I want to be like God. I want to sit in the place of God." Terrible attack. And because of that attack, you're aging. And I don't mean aging like God is aging, but aging like, oh, weight that won't go away, and lines that weren't there yesterday, and I'm looking in the mirror, and boy, do I look different than what I remember looking at in the mirror. Aging. It wouldn't be without the devil doing what he did. Have you been to a funeral lately? No? Good. may mean you're going to go to one soon, because most of us attend funerals with some frequency. Every funeral is because of this attack made by Satan on the world. Been to a doctor lately? We have doctors because of sin, because of the attack made by Satan. Every jail or prison across the fruited plain exists because of this attack that was made. An attack on the sovereignty of God, an attack on your freedom and your agency. Satan wants to make slaves. Satan wants to ruin everybody in this world, wants to turn us away from God and to himself. The cross answered it all. Victory is assured. Those who die in faith in Jesus, those who live in faith in Jesus, have the assurance they might live eternally and enjoy the blessing of God throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. What was going through Satan's mind? Hard to know. Probably better that we don't go there, because we would not want to sympathize with him, and we would not want to seek for an excuse for the existence of sin. We wouldn't want that. But Satan in heaven rebelled against God. He deceived 1/3 of all of the angels. And so today, as you go about your business, I want you to remember that we are the victims of an attack. The scars we see in the world are the results of sin. The damage, the accidents that happen today, the disasters that take place, the senseless killings that happen, financial ruin that takes place, strife among the nations. Why is it happening? It happens because there is an angry devil who seeks to devour, an angry devil who wants to tear down what God has built up. How do you fight against that? Best way is to live for Jesus, to say that you are against sin and all of the misery that it causes, to say that you're against human suffering. Now, people will march and picket and have their say, and they'll protest about human suffering. That's okay too. But the greatest protest against human suffering is to live a life for Jesus. The most powerful stand that you can make against injustice is to stand against the original one who was unjust, that's Satan, and to surrender your life to Jesus and say, I will not have injustice in my life. I want to stand with God who is about justice, and I want to be someone who can give an example to and be an assist to or assistance to somebody who's dealing with injustice. You see, this is where we are right now. The world is a battlefield, a vast battlefield. There have been so many casualties. There are so many walking wounded. One day soon, Jesus is going to return to this earth and the battle will be over. One day the heavens are going to depart as a scroll. There'll be no more walking wounded. There'll be no more casualties. There'll be no more lives lost in this great controversy between sin and righteousness, between the darkness and the light. You know, you can do something about the misery in the world, the turmoil in the world. You can give your life to Jesus and allow him to bring peace into your heart and let your life be a witness for what God can do to roll back the damage caused by the devil and to speak peace and light and assurance into every human heart. Great to see you. Have a wonderful day today. May God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John, for encouraging us today.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. Now, don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We will have another inspiring Reflections of Hope episode, music, and a morning devotional by Faith for Today.
And if you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. We will be encouraged and blessed as we hear about how you are blessed through the studies.
And before we go, we have a Bible promise for you. And today's Bible promise comes from Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27.
It says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?"
I love that rhetorical question.
Yes.
You know, no matter the obstacles, the difficulties, the circumstances in our life, God is able to help us. Nothing at all is too hard for him, friends. Reach out to him today and let him take over the circumstances in your life that seem so overwhelming. You will never regret it.
Amen. Well, we pray you have a wonderful day, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we take a hold of the promises that you have given us in the Bible. Lord, lead us to them, because there's a promise for every circumstance that we find ourselves in. And you're faithful. You're always ready to fulfill your promise in our life. And so today, Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And let's remember, help us not to forget, that nothing is too difficult for you. In Jesus' name, amen.